of these meetings. I appreciate members being flexible. We're going to start to allow Mr. Taylor to get the one bill he has on tonight done so he can be released. House Bill 2947, and I'm going to open a work session.
Thank you, Chairman. House Bill 2947 comes to you from the Committee on the Judiciary, and what this does clarifies that a person who commits a crime of research and animal interference, when a person does specify criminal activities with the intent to interfere with research, and does the same when the person commits a crime of interference of livestock production with the intent to interfere with the research. This came as a result of the two other bills that we had as related to animal research, research interference, and also with another bill we put certain crimes, including these crimes, into RICO. When we looked at those bills, we realized that they needed to be tighter, particularly where a second offense could put someone to RICO to 20 years. So it's all tied to the intent to interfere with the research.
In the original bill, which was House Bill 2947, expanding the crime of interfering with public transportation was a convenient vehicle. This was a gut and stuff, if I recall correctly.
Mr. Cherry, that's true, but we hate to use that term with this particular bill.
That's true, because it is animal research. Get it? Gut and stuff. Okay.
And we adopted the dash two amendments.
This committee's a little chicken about these issues right now.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Ringo.
You're getting a little over the top very early this meeting.
Yeah. Do you have any comments about the bill? Committee, are there any further discussions? The amendments were adopted at the subcommittee.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman of the committee. And this came from a work group that included Representative Shutley and Representative Ringo.
Okay. Representative Ringo, do you want to make a motion?
You're down there.
Sure, Mr. Chair. The dash two amendments were adopted
at the subcommittee, that's correct.
Okay, fine. Then I move that House Bill 2947 pass to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ringo moves House Bill 2947 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion to his motion?
No.
Is there any objection?
No, I gotta find it. Oh, that's one of the eco-ricos.
It's a fix, right.
Yeah, okay. I'm done.
Right.
Thank you.
Hearing no, well, let's call the roll since this is going out to the floor. Go ahead, Shannon.
Aye.
Representative Baffler?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Representative
Excused?
Walker?
Excused?
No. Representative Vicky Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Excused?
Chair Williams?
Votes aye. House Bill 2947, as amended, moves to the floor with a due pass. Representative Ringo to carry. Is that all right?
Let's let Representative Shetterly carry this bill. This is his bill.
You were in the work group. You don't want to carry it? Okay, fine. We'll let Representative Shetterly carry the bill then. In committee, with your indulgence, in order for us to move through the agenda quicker this evening, I would test your willingness to suspend with a roll call vote unless we have an objection from a member. Is there any objection to that? Representative Wilson?
No, Mr. Chair. I just need to let you know I do need to be gone for about 10 minutes, right around 5:30.
And we'll manage around your being gone. Okay. With that, then, we'll go back up to the top of the agenda and begin with House Bill 2339. Counsel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2339 comes to you in a slightly different form than it was originally intended. What it does now is just expand the types of services that may be funded by the fees that are collected in specified domestic relations cases. It also clarifies that the mediation of financial issues in domestic relations cases is not appropriate under certain circumstances.
And the carrier was?
Representative Walker, who is not here. So I would just let you know that it passed out of this sub unanimously. And let's see what else. There is a fiscal impact statement from the dash three amendments, which I don't think will change now that we've got the dash four amendments in front of you, which incorporate all of the different amendments.
So we need to adopt the dash fours, which are the entire amendment.
That's correct.
And my recollection is initially this bill got some resistance because it was establishing a mandatory mediation program. That resistance has since gone away because it's not establishing a mandatory mediation program.
That's also correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, that was my question, so that has been taken care of.
That has been taken care of in the dash, amendments, which are now all part of the dash four amendments. Does committee have any questions? I know that we've got Alice Phelan from the courts here. We have questions about the dash fours.
Dash three, you're in the dash four?
Yes, all the amendments that need to be adopted are in the dash fours if we're going to move on the bill. Representative Ringo?
I'm just trying to track through the dash four amendments real quickly to make sure that it does, I think is what it wants to do is remove section two from the bill, beginning line 15, and I don't see that it does that. And I know that was our intent, but I'm just trying to double check this.
Alice, why don't you come forward if you can?
And I say that having voted for this bill, but I just want to make sure.
Members of the committee and the chair, for the record, I'm Alice Phelan with the Oregon Judicial Department, and the dash four amendments delete section of the original bill. It deletes section one and two that had to do with the mandatory mediation program.
I see that now. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there further comment or questions about the bill? Any questions from Ms. Phelan while we have her here? Okay. The chair, well, there's Representative Walker, who's the carrier of this bill, Representative Cheryl Walker. Representative Walker, we're about ready to adopt the dash four amendments to House Bill 2339, which are the total of the earlier amendments. And this was the bill that would have required mandatory mediation, but now has been modified to not require mandatory mediation.
Okay.
Is there anything else you need to know?
No.
With that, the chair will move the adoption of the dash four amendments to House Bill 2339. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Hearing none, they're adopted. Chair would move House Bill 2339 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Representative Walker, we're going to suspend with roll call votes in the interest of time today unless we have objections. So seeing no objection, the bill will move, and I'll assign Representative Cheryl Walker to carry the bill since you were the carrier to this committee and did such a good job of it.
Thank you. I worked very hard on that presentation.
Yes, we appreciate it very, very much. We're now going to open a work session on House Bill 2365. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2365 may take us a little bit more time than some of the other bills. There was some controversy in the subcommittee. It passed out of the subcommittee 3-2. The carrier is Representative Backlund, and what this bill does is provides that a person may not refuse to recognize the validity of a power of attorney document based solely on the passage of time since it was executed. I will point out to you that you have a fiscal based on the dash one amendments. I don't think that there's going to be any change. Actually, I'm sorry, there is going to be a change based on the dash three amendments. There is no cause of action anymore within the bill, so I would think there's going to be no fiscal impact whatsoever. And the other thing that you have in your packets are a handout from a letter from Dady Blake from the Elder Law Section of the Oregon State Bar, and another one from Ken Sherman explaining the compromise they reached in the bill. I also have, if it becomes necessary, an email I just received from Jennifer Wright from the Oregon State Bar that talks about some of the research that she did in this area that I can talk to you about, but I didn't photocopy.
Representative Backlund, you're the carrier of this. Do you have anything to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From what I can gather from the discussion by Andrea and by my own reading of the bill and my own notes, I think we're pretty well informed. I understand from the Elder Law Section of the Oregon State Bar if banks and financial institutions do refuse to accept the powers of attorney if they're older than 1 or 2 years, this does negate the practice of good estate planning. And so it would seem then that this bill would give financial institutions immunity when the power of attorney appeared to be in good faith, if I understand that correctly. Now the latest, the amendments, I'm a little bit shaky on those, so I may need some help.
Representative Ringo, can you tell me why you objected to the bill at the subcommittee level?
Yes, thanks, Chair. I understand and I support the purpose, the goal here, and that's to make sure that banks, title companies, whoever honor powers of attorney and don't automatically do things such as the aid or the format. I was concerned, and I had some discussion with Representative Shetterly as to whether the Dash 3 amendment gave banks and others immunity in a way that they currently don't have. If you look at the Dash 3 amendments, line 6, section 2 says if they rely in good faith on the power of attorney, they are not liable. And my question was whether that would relieve them from negligence, because there are many instances where somebody operates in good faith, nevertheless, they're still negligent. And there could be scenarios where a person looks at the power of attorney but fails to notice, for example, that it's expired, that it's got a termination date, and they honor it past the termination date. Now, I think the bank clerk, the title company clerk, whoever could say, well, I operated in good faith, I just didn't look at it carefully enough. And that was my concern. Frankly, I'm not sure I'm right. But it was a concern that I raised and had some discussion with Representative Shetterly about, and I was hoping to resolve this before it came here. And I had some discussions with our committee counsel and with members of the bar. I had a brief discussion with Tim Martinez of the Bankers Association today to try to understand what the current law is in that regard.
Are you resolved as of yet?
I am not resolved.
Okay.
And I mean, like I said, I would appreciate your opinion as well.
Well, I think your point isn't entirely invalid. And as you were going through it, and I was looking at Section 2, I wondered about whether or not you would be satisfied, and any other committee members welcome to chime in here, because your relies in good faith, could create, this issue that you've described potentially, and I'm not sure it does, but it could potentially, and I see where you're going with it. What if, Representative Ringo, we inserted in front of the word relies, reasonably relies?
Actually, I had suggested almost the same thing in my discussions with some of the other folks, where we would, any person who say, exercises reasonable care and relies in good faith, I think that's fine. Or even what you said, reasonably relies.
Yeah, if they reasonable, because I think if you look at a power of attorney that has an expired date on it, that's not reasonable reliance on that power of attorney.
I agree.
And so I think by just inserting the reasonableness standard, you then that creates then your ability to use your potential negligence argument in that the action was unreasonable, that it wasn't a reasonable reliance and therefore negligent.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, at the same time, I wouldn't want to impose on the bank or title company a duty to investigate that it was, whether it was fraudulent, any of that. I mean, we don't
right.
want to impose any new duty.
That's right.
We want to maintain any current duty.
That's absolutely right, and I think that's a duty they currently do have.
I think so.
Representative Ackerman, what do you think?
Well, I think there's another scenario here. The way I read this, if you rely upon the authority stated, the signature, the date, the notary seal, and all of that, then you provide some form of immunity. What happens in a situation where somebody brings in a very limited power of attorney, say just to deal in one bank account, and yet you're using the power of attorney to assign a title to property? Does a person get off on that by saying, "Well, I relied upon the authority, but I didn't read the."
But again, I think the reasonableness standard solves that problem.
Well, I think it does, too.
Because if we put reasonably relies in front of that, I think we get to, that's going to continue to place the burden on the person receiving the instrument that they have appropriately read and understand. And I think if you say, I relied on a power of attorney that I never read, you're not reasonably relying.
No,
so
I would hardly accept that as a conceptual amendment.
Okay. Representative Vicki Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also like to hear from Representative Lowe because she was a no
right.
vote, and
that's
I'd,
right.
I'd like to see if that was her same concern.
It was.
Okay.
And I agree with the remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then if I can, at this point, with all of us here, the Chair would move a conceptual amendment to the dash threes on line 5, inserting after the word who the word reasonably. And is there any objection to the adoption of that conceptual amendment to the dash threes? Seeing none, adopted. Now the Chair would move the dash three amendments with that conceptual amendment to House Bill 2365. Is there any objection? Seeing none, adopted. Representative Backlund, do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I move House Bill 2365 as amended, including a conceptual amendment, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Backlund moves House Bill 2365 as amended, including the conceptual amendment to dash 3, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Ringo.
I'm just curious as to how conceptual amendments work.
Well, they get us into some serious trouble if they're big. But what this means is, Representative, that when the bill is printed, it will have the word reasonably in front of relies in its A engrossed version.
I see. Okay. Perfect.
If I might, I'm the person that gets in trouble. So.
You don't want to. Okay, thank you.
All right. Good. Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none. The bill moves to the floor, and Representative Backlund, are you comfortable carrying this bill to the floor?
You bet.
All right, thank you. We'll now open a work session on House Bill 2372. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2372 comes from the Oregon State Bar, and it allows telephone testimony in civil jury trials on a showing of good cause and compelling need. The dash two amendments were adopted in the sub, and Mr. Chair, you are the carrier of the bill. Even though you didn't get the vote in the sub.
Yeah, and I admit now to not recalling entirely the testimony. I do remember, committee, that this bill was in front of the civil subcommittee at an earlier point with some testimony from the bar. I believe that the amendments are not exactly what the bar had originally asked for, but in working with legislative counsel, we determined that we would amend ORS 45-400, which was the situation that already dealt, as I recall, with telephone or electronic communication, as opposed to a very specific, as opposed to creating a new section, and that was essentially what we did in the dash two amendments. And I don't know if there's anybody from the bar here on this issue. I see some bar representatives, but I doubt they want to talk about these specific amendments.
My understanding was that the bar was
they're all ducking.
was okay.
They were satisfied.
Yeah.
In the end, and this was Representative Shetterly and I worked on this a little bit together. It was really my belief that in the original version of the bill, which you'll find somewhere down further in your stack, it would have created a new section, and it just seemed to fit better under the current section that already was dealing with the issue of electronic communication. So we went ahead and reworded it and added it in that section. So that's essentially where we're at. Representative Walker, Vicki Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't know that in civil jury trials you could not have telephone testimony. We do telephone testimony quite frequently in federal court, though the judge requires no evidence be taken by telephone. If you have evidence to submit, you have to show up. But
right.
It works fine. I think there are appropriate safeguards. Court reporters live with it. trial, attorneys can certainly live with it, and this one sure makes you go through a bunch of hoops requiring special need.
Right, and that was, and I think as a person who occasionally practices in a courtroom,
occasionally.
That's I think that the standards are appropriate. I mean, yeah. I think it ought to be when you've got these needs identified, because frankly, in front of a jury, every trial lawyer wants the opportunity to sort of have the live witness and the live jury, because that's part of how this process works. So I think the standards in this are appropriate. There are certainly situations that all of us have been involved in where it would make some sense, I think. Counsel had a comment as well.
I was just going to tell you, it's not that it wasn't allowed before. It was that both sides had to agree. And what it does, what it changes is that now the court can make the decision upon a showing of good cause or compelling need. And if your opponent wants to make you pay to fly your expert back,
right,
you don't have to do that if the judge thinks it's appropriate.
Okay. Because that actually is the standard in federal court. If both sides don't agree, the judge usually doesn't allow that testimony.
Is there further discussion
on
the bill? Okay. I'll move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill.
Oh,
we already adopted
them.
All right. Well, then, in that case, I'll move House Bill 2372 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? The bill moves.
Want to carry it?
Sure. I'll stay on as carrier. Work session on House Bill 2414.
House Bill 2414 comes from the Oregon Law Commission. It codifies choice of law for Oregon-related contracts. The Dash 1 amendments were adopted in the sub. Representative Shetterly was to be the carrier to the full committee, so I'll just give you a little bit more information. The Dash 1 amendments, which were adopted, remove financial institutions from this choice of law provision. There was some question in the sub as to whether or not that also removed the insurance industry, and I've been assured by several people, the proponents of the bill and several other people that were originally concerned, the banking industry, the insurance industry, that they are all incorporated by the federal definition, or they're all included by the federal definition, which is incorporated into the statute. In addition to insurance, HMOs are also exempted from this.
Is there any discussion about this bill among the committee members?
Chair.
Representative Ringo.
I'll just mention that choice of law is a very complicated subject, and in law school you can take a whole course on it. And I'm just trusting that the bar worked out a good solution. I'm sure that they did.
Representative Ringo, did you take that course?
No. I took the ones I could get good grades.
Yeah. Well, I made the mistake of taking choice of law in law school. I will tell you that this has been the subject of a work group by the Oregon Law Commission, one that I didn't participate in as a member of the Law Commission. But I know they worked very hard on the bill, on the conceptual version of the bill. And it's had a lot of work from academicians at least two of our university law schools here in Oregon. I believe the amendments were acceptable because it did create some real concern, I think, on changing the game with respect to, you know, heavily worked out details of contracts that have choice of law provisions in them, and that's why the Dash ones were adopted. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So the bill stands before us. Representative Shetterly is not here to make the motion, so I'll make it on his behalf. The chair would move House Bill 2414 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the bill moves. We'll sign Representative Shetterly as the carrier of the bill.
And I would just point out to the committee assistant that Representative Wilson's out of the room, so he would be excused.
Right, he would be shown as excused. Yeah, thank you. We're going to open a work session then on House Bill 2731.
counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2731 comes to you from the Oregon Farm Bureau, and what it does is fix a gap in the right to farm law. Hopefully I can explain this correctly. Right now, under current law, farmers have immunity for certain nuisance and trespass suits when they're following accepted farm practices. So under current law, the immunity would apply to a farm located inside an urban growth boundary in an area that is zoned for industrial uses. However, the immunity would not apply to a farm inside an urban growth boundary in an area that is zoned as exclusive farm use, because farming practices inside a farm zone are not considered a non-conforming use. So what this would do would be to extend that protection from liability to exclusive farm use areas. And the carrier is Representative Backlund, and there are no amendments or impact statements.
Representative Backlund.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Andrea's explained this well, and I would say that the problem that Andrea described has been there's testimony to the effect that this gap in coverage was an oversight. It was not intended. We had some discussion about the use of pesticides in this regard, but I think we resolved those, and so this seems to be like a reasonably simple fix.
Thank you, Representative Backlund. Are there any questions? I see Mr. Bernasek from the Farm Bureau here if we have specific questions. Representative Ackerman?
Well, I'm inclined to vote no. I've stated before that I think it's unconstitutional under Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution to grant civil immunity based upon certain situations. And I certainly feel, and I, the way this is written, that accepted farm practices can still be hazardous, basically ultra-hazardous. They can be negligent, and I don't see why persons that engage in those types of activities should not be civilly responsible. You can insure against these risks, and I think most people do. I'm concerned about the pesticide use. I'm concerned about pesticide that might be applied by helicopter or some airborne situation and get onto an adjoining property that could have been avoided. I'm worried about smoke that might be on highways that would obliterate traffic and cause traffic accidents. That has happened when we had our grass-burning situation years ago. I think things like noise, odors, vibration, and dust and what have you can be nuisances which should be enjoined, even though they, because they're not confined to the farm use property. They encroach upon neighbors, and I think those neighbors have a right and a claim to seek some redress.
Chair? Yes, Representative Backlund.
It's my understanding that the right to farm law is designed to avoid lawsuits that might arise due to conflicts when land is used for farming purposes. It's been mentioned noise, smoke, dust, vibration, odors, and pesticide use are some of the examples that could be used here. And so I don't know that we want to challenge Oregon's right to farm law. I think what we want to do here is expand it to include something that I understand was a gap in coverage, was an oversight.
Yeah, Representative Ackerman, your concern is not, I think, with the change that's being made here, but as I understand it, your concern is with whether or not the entire liability protection section of the current law is constitutional.
Well, except, that's correct, Mr. Chairman. However, this does expand the areas that these activities can be engaged in and not be and be immune from civil suit, then I still think I would vote no.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Ackerman. Representative Ringo.
I raised some questions on this during the civil sub. Along the same lines, you know, whether it's appropriate to immunize folks from use of pesticides, other activities, as Representative Ackerman discussed. And I think the response is, well, this is just closing a loophole. And I think that's accurate. But it still leaves me wondering whether the basic structure is sound, and I think that's what Representative Ackerman is speaking to. It may close a loophole that was never intended, but nevertheless, is the overall structure what we really want it to be? Obviously, this bill doesn't answer that, but I think it does give room for question.
Okay.
Just a comment.
Thank you. is it an indication of how you might vote?
Well, my intention is to vote no on this.
That's all I needed to know. I have a constitutional problem now with the bill, and I will close the work session on House Bill 2731. And we will open the work session on House Bill 3260.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3260 came up in front of the full last week, and we discovered that there was an oversight and that there were some blanks in the back of the Dash 1 amendments. What the Dash 1 amendments did was to combine two other bills, 3253 and 2360, into one bill. The blanks have been filled in. The specific dates have for when the terms of the board members end have been put into place. And so that's it.
Thank you. This bill was Representative Lowe's to carry, as I recall.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Andrea pretty much summed it up. So I recommend it do pass.
Okay. This is the streamlining of the bar's governance process. And my recollection is we've talked this all the way through, and it was just in the back on page 6.
Yeah. We
had to fill in the blanks with the dates of service, which has been done. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we adopted the Dash 2s.
No, because the Dash 2s are new.
With the Dash 1s at that
we didn't do that,
We didn't do that.
Mr.
So.
Chairman, I move the Dash 2s and the 2360.
Representative Lowe moves the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3260. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? What's so funny?
Well, I was sitting here wondering why I was kind of confused and didn't have complete notes, and so I just said Andrea, me too. Because my staff has BD reversal syndrome, and then I got 2360 in the file instead of 3260, but I'm sure it's a great bill.
It happens to all of us. The Dash 2 amendments have been moved without any objection, adopted. Representative Lowe moves House Bill 3260 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, adopted, and Representative Wilson will be shown as excused. And Representative Wall, would you carry that bill on the floor?
Yes, I'll get my filing straight before then.
Open a work session on House Bill 3925.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3925 is simply on to be referred to the House Committee on Smart Growth and Commerce.
Okay. Members, this is simple. We're not working this bill. We're referring this bill over to the House Committee on Smart Growth and Commerce. So the chair would make the motion, House Bill 3925, be referred to the floor with re-referral to House Committee on Smart Growth and Commerce. Is there any discussion?
Well, I just hope this is non-controversial. We have so much work in that committee, Mr. Chair. We don't need to.
I'm sure this will keep you till a 9 or 10 o'clock committee hearing at some point, Representative.
Other than that, I have no.
Representative idea. Ackerman.
Yeah, I don't want to hold this up because I know it's going someplace else, but the simplicity of this bill tells me that there's some motive here I don't see.
Well, please find it for me,
and I'm not on the civil subcommittee. Could somebody just give me the basic underlying reason for this?
Oh, we didn't hear it in the civil sub. There hasn't been any hearing on it at all.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a bill that deals with the decision I think was made that eventually, because this bill dealt with vested rights of the use of real property, that's the committee that it ought to go to, the Smart Growth Committee. So anyway, all I'm doing is referring it without recommendation.
Yeah. Okay.
So House Bill 3925, the motion is to move that to the Smart Growth and Commerce Committee without recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Hearing none, the bill moves.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
This not yours? 2947.
We already did that.
Okay.
We are now going to have a work session. We're pleased to have with us Mr. Prinz.
Oh, thank you.
Also counsel for the judiciary. And we will open a work session on House Bill 2336.
Oh, I don't...
Is that right?
No, actually, that's not mine.
What?
This one's not mine.
I think that's Bill...
But 2611 and 2950.
Oh, did you forget one?
Bill forgot one. So you know what? We're going to get Craig out of here.
I'll go get Bill.
Is Bill still here?
He's still here.
Well, why don't we let Andrea go get Bill? I'm going to recess House Bill 2336, and I'm going to open work session on House Bill 2611. And I see the good senator,
yes.
The Senate Minority Leader, Senator Brown. Do you want to come forward? Do you have anything to say?
No. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Pass the bill.
All right. Craig, why don't you tell us what it is we're going to do for Senator Brown?
Okay. This is House Bill 2611 that the Oregon Law Commission gives you regarding the rules of procedure for juvenile practice. It was passed unanimously by the subcommittee with a dash two amendments. I don't think there's any opposition to it.
You'll recall, I believe at the subcommittee level, for those who serve on the criminal subcommittee, we had Representative Brown, we had a number of people who worked on the work group come forward, we had, I'm sorry, Senator Brown. I knew her once when she was a representative. we had Judge Darlene, who appeared by telephone to talk about the details of the bill. We did adopt the dash two amendments at committee, and so we have the amended bill in front of us. Any discussion by the committee? Any questions while we have Senator Brown in our midst about this? This has been an extreme amount of work. You'll recall originally we had this bill up very, very early. The judges initially reacted somewhat with concern about the bill. They since went back out and met with the juvenile judges. Although they didn't get unanimous agreement that every judge thought it was a good idea, I think they got a majority of the judges agreeing that having a procedure in place made sense. So that's what we're looking at. Yes, you certainly may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was privileged to work during the interim on this project with a good senator, and I wanted to thank her for the grace, dignity, and patience that she carried through on this project. There were many participants, some of whom are in this room. In fact, everybody sitting on this side and a couple over here, they're heroes because they had to put up with a great deal of trial and tribulation, including not just one death threat. This was hard, tough going, and every step of the way, Senator Brown was able to get consensus, and I'm real proud of this product.
So now with the death threat looming, do I have any volunteers who want to carry this? The chair would move House Bill 2611 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the bill will move to the floor, and Representative Wilson is back, so we will show him present on that vote. We do need to assign a carrier. Representative Lowe?
I'd love to carry this bill.
Okay, Representative Lowe will carry that bill. If she wants to, she will.
And if Senator Brown would like to come and sit next to me, whisper in my ear, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, great. We'll now open a work session on House Bill 2950. Mr. Prinz.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this bill comes to you from the Oregon Law Commission as well. This is a bill dealing with juvenile courts and who may intervene in a dependency case. This was before your subcommittee passed without any objection. Timothy is here. Timothy Travis is here. If you have any questions. 2950.
And we adopted, I believe, the dash one
amendments. excuse me.
At the subcommittee.
Which really changed the bill entirely.
Right. Colleagues, I know we're moving through some of this stuff fast, so I don't want you to feel like you can't ask questions. So we do have Mr. Travis here. If you'd like to discuss in more detail the Dash One amendments, those of you who weren't at the criminal subcommittee level are seeing some of this sort of fast and furious. I don't know if we had a carrier assigned to carry this bill to the full committee.
Representative Ackerman was going to.
Representative Ackerman?
What? That's what my notes say. I wasn't here, but.
What?
You were going to carry this bill to the full.
I'll be happy to.
Do you have anything to say about it now?
No, I'm getting ready to go. I appreciate the chair's speed with which you conducted the business tonight. Other chairmen should be so informed.
Well, I thank you, Representative Ackerman. Brevity has not always been my strongest point, but I'm trying. Well, with that then, Representative Ackerman moves House Bill 2950 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, the bill will move, and Representative Ackerman, if you'll carry this bill on the floor.
Thank you.
What did you do to 2336?
I believe that leaves us now.
2336.
Colleagues, with House Bill 2336.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2336 comes to you from the Judicial Department, and what the bill does, Mr. Chairman, is the committee clarifies that the Oregon Court of Appeals and the Oregon Supreme Court procedural process for handling appeals for juvenile court decisions is similar to civil matters on appeal, except that juvenile appeal still is a trial de novo before the Court of Appeals. You have the Dash One amendments, which were adopted in subcommittee, and Representative Lowe is the carrier for the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill do pass. I move the Dash One amendment. Into 2336, and then 2336 and 4
with due pass. Colleagues, Representative Lowe has moved the amended version of House Bill 2336 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion about the bill? Any questions about the issue? It almost feels unfair not to have some more discussion, but without any, then. I'll ask for objection. Is there any objection on our motion? Seeing none, motion carries. The bill will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I got Representative Lowdown on two bills already. Do I have a volunteer on this one that hasn't gotten a bill? You've got one, Representative Ackerman. Is there anybody? Representative Vicki Walker, I haven't given you a bill today. Are you interested in this one?
Yes.
Did I hear it yet?
I'll help you, honey.
She'll help me.
Okay. I'm just trying to spread the wealth a little bit here, everybody.
All right. Yeah, we get tired of hearing everybody's same voices on the floor.
Right.
The advantage is they tune us out and just vote.
We are going to now adjourn the committee. Appreciate everyone sticking around and for your hard work.
Good job, Chairman.